Yeah, recording. Watch what he's saying.
All right. Giddy up and welcome to the Serenity Now Sports Podcast. This is your host, Danny Cohan. And today I have with me, it's Dylan, the host of the In the Front Row podcast. what are you the host of, Dylan? I don't even know. You have in so many different fields right now working within the Front Row. So how do you want to be introduced?
That's a difficult question. I would say, my brother and I just launched a new show, excuse me, the host of Double Trouble, I guess you should say.
Launched on the
In the Front Row YouTube channel.
That's right, that's right. So you guys, Double Trouble, go to YouTube, go type in the Front Row LA, and then watch Double Trouble. You got both the Schreibman brothers, right? Dylan and Dustin. All right, you guys need to check that out.
Yeah, my brother's quite entertaining, so go
check that out. We also have Fredo's been doing big things. He's been having some big time guests on. I saw Rob Parker the other day. Anyways, this is all like
Fredo show.
This is all In the Front Row talk. So let's get into some sports talk. I know you saw the Super Bowl last night. It was kind of a little bit of a snooze fest, but now all the talk is Brady. And for me, like, I don't want to hear any more about Brady. I've been hearing about Brady my entire life. And so I haven't been really watching any of the post coverage. I turned it off at halftime. It was enough for me. I found out I wasn't going to win my bet. So it was like, what's the point?
Well, you had a bet on the game?
Yes. We had, what's his name on the other day? Harry. And Harry, he gave me some over unders and, they didn't work out, but he, I gotta admit, he had the game right. I didn't have it right. So who did you have going into the game? Did you think the Chiefs were going to win? Because I thought the Chiefs were going to win it.
I did think the Chiefs were going to win. And it shocked me to see Patrick Mahomes that startled offensively. Not Patrick Mahomes. I would say the Chiefs offense in general. Because I think there's still – Patrick Mahomes still showed you a few plays where they had a few key drops. And he still showed you how athletic and how great of a talent he's going to be, especially when he was falling to the side and threw the ball and hit the guy. Was it Hartman in the helmet? I think it was. I don't want to say the wrong receiver. But it was.
I remember. One of them. There was a lot of those, though. There was a lot where it was like right through the hands and it hit him in the helmet.
He was under pressure all night. And he was. I know they were missing two of their starting tackles, which probably played a huge factor into it. But he had no time to really. I mean, he's athletic. He's mobile. He can get out of the pocket. But when you can't even make a read or, you know, at least have some time in the pocket to make a few reads. It's a difficult night for him. And I think, he still showed how talented he is. I think that maybe, I don't think him personally, I think his fans and his fan base, it will humble them a little bit just because everyone was saying, oh, he's the GOAT. He's going to come out and win two Super Bowls in his first 3 years that he's been playing. I know he sat the first year behind Alex Smith, technically his rookie year, but like his when he was starting, that people were like, oh, he's going to win two Super Bowls. He's going to, you know, be the GOAT already after three playing seasons. And I think it kind of humbled the fan base a little bit, didn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it seemed like it was, this team was unbeatable. You know, it was kind of like they reminded me of the Warriors in basketball, in that, like, no matter what, like, the game was never out of hand. They, like, even if you felt like, all right, maybe like they're down big here, but it's Mahomes. Like he can make it. You know, we've seen it so many times, but it just seemed like from the start that Tampa Bay defense was all over the place and they never let up from start to finish. It was unbelievable. I'd never seen Mahomes play that bad, and that's what kind of disappointed me. And then also it's Brady, man. It's like, God, how much luck? And I can't say luck anymore because you know he's done it so many times. But there were so many calls that in that game that, like, oh, there's an interception, and then the refs were like, nah, hold, or there was a penalty, and those plays is but in the end, like, it didn't matter because they were so much better. I feel like, and they dominated that game that the refs didn't really play a role. And I think
at a time, maybe, just because it was a 14-6 game. And I mean, it was technically foul. And I think the two pass interference calls I'm talking about, I think it was a question of whether the balls were catchable. And that's where people are saying, oh, like, the balls were 8-9 yards down the field. You really can't throw the flag there. At the end of the day, though, I think maybe in the moment it could have caused a stir. But I think if you saw overall in the landscape of how Kansas City couldn't move the ball, they didn't even score a touchdown. I mean, it's the first time, I think, in Patrick Mahomes' career that he's lost by double digits. It was in a 31-9 game. I don't think you can really complain about how the officiating could possibly take away from the game. But I just think the Bucs came out. Todd Bowles has been terrific all postseason. He stymied a few great offenses already in the postseason. And this Buccaneers team is, since their loss, close loss in Kansas City in the regular season, they've been undefeated and they've been playing well. And Todd Bowles has really ramped up that defense to start playing well. And, hey, Aaron Rodgers was closer than Patrick Mahomes. That's all I want to say.
Aaron Rodgers? What was that?
I'm just saying he had – he was right in it with the Bucs, and Patrick Mahomes was stymied. Does that show you something? Yeah.
You know, I have one of my best friends is a diehard Packer fan, right? And he's the most angry out of all of us. And and he's saying that, because, we're all telling him, dude, I know we've been saying before, Tom Brady, he's lucky, but we can't say it anymore. He's the GOAT. Like, you can't say, he's, Rodgers maybe – physically better, but the one guy gets it done and the other guy doesn't in the playoffs. It's so true. Yeah, I mean, I don't know, he has that it goes to show that sports is not all about your physical abilities. It's also so much of a mental game, especially that quarterback position. And Tom Brady, I mean, he's another — usually they say he's a coach on the field, when there's a great quarterback, a veteran quarterback, but he's more than a coach on the field. He's better than any of the coaches. I feel like he knows the game more than any of the coach. It was like Peyton Manning, but Peyton Manning at the end, when he was with Denver, he knew the game so well that he was dominant. But then that last year where they won the Super Bowl, he had nothing left physically. But that mentally, he was — that defense was good enough that, mentally, even though he played like crap a lot, that defense was good enough to carry them. And I thought that maybe that was going to be the case with Tampa, but it's not. It was the offense and the defense. They both showed up and they both dominated that game. So I don't want to talk about Super Bowl anymore because it just upsets me that Mr. Brady never stops winning. You got Tiger.
Yeah.
Then you got LeBron, and now it's Brady. They never stop winning. It's over, all right, it's no more, they come back and win again.
Yeah, my final thoughts, because like you said, it's kind of a snooze fest, and people are expecting the game of the year and a close game. But I think my final thoughts, I do want to give respect to Tom Brady. I know I've been critical throughout this year, and I remember last year before the season started, with Tom Brady, I know Fredo and I did a show a while ago where we both really didn't believe in Tom Brady or that even the Bucs possibly would get to the playoffs. So I think the fact that he went out and won in his first season with Tampa Bay is really impressive. I want to give him his credit. It's really impressive.
It really is. Yeah. Because
they were 7-5.
I know. They were a 5 seed. Yeah. And I was like, all right, that's a nice story, but maybe they'll win the first round and the second round, but they're not going to win the Super Bowl. They're not going to be the Chiefs, but I was wrong. All right, let's talk. I was wrong again.
Give him his credit.
Yeah, we got to give him his credit. You got to give him his props. I mean, the one good thing that came out of it, I think, is that Bill Belichick now is not like – a little bit. I feel like his legacy was maybe took a little bit of a hit last night. Now
I think it's overblown. I don't think you'll have enough sample size. I think with coaching with Bill Belichick, he had Cam Newton a quarterback, and I think I was excited for Cam Newton, but you saw I think the shoulder injuries is just a little too much. I want to see what he can do with a quarterback who has a little more potential. Like, Cam Newton was an MVP caliber quarterback, a terrific quarterback, but when he came to New England, injury concerns and everything like that really hampered his starting mission. I want to see what he can do when there's a potential upside to somebody's career in a quarterback, and then I think we can make a judgment.
All right. All right. Let's leave it there. Let's leave it there.
Let's leave it there.
All right. You know what I want to know about from you, Dylan, is so we've had a lot of these appearances on the In the Front Row LA YouTube channel where we talk sports, and usually we talk. When I come on, I talk Lakers always. Uh-huh. I'm just a diehard Laker fan, and for some reason, whenever I start talking Lakers, I hear about the Portland Trailblazers from you. So what is this Portland Trailblazers love that you have? Like, where does this come from? Why do you think that they're as good as the Lakers? What's going on there?
I don't know. I wouldn't say that it's a necessarily love. I would just say I think they're a talented team that I was on Fredo's show a few weeks ago. It's probably been like 3 weeks, a month now. And we were talking about it. I think the Lakers this season are the clear-cut favorite. I'm talking the Western Conference. But I think out of all, if you look at all the teams, it's a difficult Western Conference. The Western Conference over the past few seasons or loads of seasons has been more difficult than the Eastern Conference. But I think if you look at, like, depth-wise, if you look at the one team that I think could challenge the Lakers, I think it is the Portland Trailblazers. I think Dame's big time. He's not afraid of the moment. I think it depends heavily on CJ McCollum. I don't know. The status is injury, and if he doesn't return or struggles throughout the playoffs with injury, you can scrap the Blazers. But I think that basketball is difficult because you have to beat a team 4 of 7 times. So you have to beat a team that as quality as the Lakers for 10 times. Let's be honest, if the Chiefs and Buccaneers play a 4-7 series, the Chiefs might win the Super Bowl. I think the Chiefs naturally are a better team, but football is a one-time meeting. We saw the Buccaneers had a great game plan, had a great plan.
2 weeks to prepare. It was a little bit different than game.
It's like saying if the Lakers went into the postseason last year, they lost game one. They weren't out of it.
In a March Madness tournament, really anyone can win. If it was an NBA March Madness tournament. You're definitely right there. But I got to disagree on the Portland. I mean – I don't see why you like Portland so much, Dylan. So Utah, why not Utah? Clippers, why not Clippers? They're just as good, no?
I do like Utah. I love Donovan Mitchell. I think Donovan Mitchell is starting to become a more well-rounded player. And I picked Utah to beat Denver last year. I thought they would get kind of deep into the playoffs. I do like Donovan Mitchell. I love his response to Shaq. I think that really gave me life and gave me more respect for Donovan Mitchell. With the Clippers, I've been saying this. I think last year it was an expectation season. Everyone thought they were the heavy favorites in the West and even probably a heavier favorite to win the title. Everyone thought it was the Clippers versus everybody. I think this year it's kind of – they have to prove it. I think that they've been – you know, they went with heavy expectations and had the epic collapse. I think this year it's until you can prove that you can win, especially Paul George. Kawhi Leonard has gotten a few chips in his career, but can he lead another team, an LA team that you're competing with LeBron James on the other side of Staples Center and the Lakers market? And with Paul George, we haven't seen it. It's pandemic P, and we haven't seen – I mean, to be honest, we haven't seen Paul George in the playoffs. We saw him on opening night 2 years ago have a great game – or not opening night, the first matchup with the Clippers because he was out opening night, I believe. And then this past opening night, he had a terrific game. But when it comes to the playoffs, we haven't seen it. So I want to see if Paul George can take that next level as a player and become a superstar. And until then, I won't ride the Clippers. It's a complete 180.
So I'm going to have Jovan Buha on tomorrow from The Athletic. And so it's interesting. He was covering the Clippers to start his career. And then now this year, he's gone to the Lakers. Mm-hmm. And so it's very interesting with that rivalry to see, you know, the reporters get caught up in it when they go from one to the next. Even like, it's crazy how hardcore that rivalry is already. And really, they haven't, you know, you haven't seen the LeBron and Kawhi play in a playoff game, obviously, or in a really big game. Mm-hmm. You know, so I want to see that matchup. I want to see that playoff matchup. And I feel like the Clippers will, you know, as much as I hate the Clippers, I got to admit, they're the team that matches up with the Lakers that I've seen. And it's not Portland because Portland offense, they're a great offensive team, I feel like. In the NBA, you got to have offense and defense to win a championship. It's not like Even the Golden State, people are like, oh, Golden State, they're just a scoring team. No, look at the stats. Golden State was a great defensive team, you know. And look at the Lakers right now. They're not offense. Just offense. They're number one rated defensive team. And they last year, they had a great defense. So defense is it gets the job done in the playoffs, in basketball, in the NBA. Like you said, that's a key point that people forget, that in football, one game, really anybody can win one game. Yeah. You know, it's, you know, if it – in one game at the professional level, anybody can win. But in a seven-game series, yeah, like in basketball, I mean, the best team is going to win. Unless there's injuries, the best team is going to win the series. Go ahead.
I mean, I just want to say it's difficult to beat LeBron James in general, and then trying to beat him 4 of 7 times, then you add AD to the mix, who could be considered a top five player in the league by many. It's usually the players with the best talent like that, a dynamic duo like that, will win. I don't have the trust in Paul George yet. And I want to see him. And is it really a rivalry if one team's dominated it? Like, I know, is it overblown to you a little bit?
No, because just like living here my whole life.
I'm asking as an LA person.
Yeah. Yeah. Just living here my whole life. The Clippers were always like, in the beginning, I guess they were like the little brother. So it was like, not a big, you know, it wasn't a rivalry. I would root for the Clippers because they weren't a threat to the Lakers. But then but you know what changed things? It was the last, if you look at the last since 2013, 14, the Lakers had the worst record in the NBA before they got LeBron for like a 5-6 year period. And that's, you know, worse than the Sixers who were trying to tank. They're worse than like teams that were like, you know, and the Clippers during that period were really good with Chris Paul and Blake Griffin. And they rubbed it in on the Lakers every time they played them. They would try to beat them by 30, by beating them by 40. And then, you can't blame them. The Lakers did the same thing with the Shaq and Kobe days. But Laker fans remember that, trust me. And Laker fans wanted their revenge. And as good as it felt to win the championship last year, for me, you know, especially if you have like best friends that are Clipper fans, diehard Clipper fans, which there aren't that many out there, but I have one. For me, the Clippers losing after being down 3-1 felt almost as good, if not as good, as the Lakers winning championship, because I knew that once they were out, Lakers were going to win the championship, because I felt that confident. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I do want to see it. I want to see Kawhi go up against LeBron, especially for LA. It will be a media frenzy, and it's really what everyone's been waiting for since Kawhi went to the Clippers and LeBron went to the Lakers. People want to see it in the Western Conference Finals. I think the Western Conference is really deep, and I think there's a few teams that could possibly, no one expected Denver to get to the Western Conference Finals last season. They expected them probably to be a second round team with you having the Clippers and you having the Lakers and that supposedly Western Conference Finals matchup. And then Denver went and, you know, was down 3-1 twice and came back. A lot of us picked against Denver in both series, and they still ended up,
I'll give you credit on this, Dylan. is that a team can get really hot.
That's what I'm saying.
Right? Yeah. And Portland, of all teams, with Dame Lillard. Dame Lillard is basically Steph Curry. I mean, Dame Lillard is amazing.
Do you think he's better than Steph Curry?
I don't think he's better, but I think he's right there. And if he was on Golden State, if they had switched teams, you know, he had come up on Golden State, you know, people would be talking about Dame Lillard as the best point guard ever. I feel like with if he would have had, you know, right there with Clay and with, Draymond there and that system and everything, people would be, he would have won multiple MVPs, I feel like. But he's still, Steph Curry's another step higher. I think we saw that the other day with that 57-point performance. Yeah. I mean, the guy has responded this year, because last year he got a lot of crap. He got a lot of crap because he didn't carry that team like people thought he would, without Durant there. But of course, he had injuries. There was so much going on. But and this year he's showing who he is. All right, so we're gonna see with basketball throughout the season with the Lakers. But as we have our shows, I'm gonna keep telling you, Portland's not a threat. It's all about Lakers, Clippers.
I think they can be. I think it heavily depends on CJ McCollum, and if he's healthy, obviously, if they're without him, it's much more difficult for Portland as a scoring option that you take away. I think, honestly, when it comes to Dame versus Steph, I know it's a big comparison, especially in the Western Conference. You could say they're the two best point guards. I think the only reason people give Steph the nod is because of those championships and because of the dynasty that he was a part of. If you look individually, I think Dame could have more talent than Steph. And I think Damian Lillard's been known to be against super teams. He doesn't want to join a super team. He doesn't want to join a big dynasty or something like that. He wants to win his own way. And I like his attitude. I like his swagger. I like, you know, that kind of relentless part of him. He's not afraid of the big moment. And he's put up some big numbers too. I think the thing that clouds the judgment is the championships that Steph won.
Yeah. You know, it's always the championships.
Yeah, 3 to 4
It's always the championships that cloud everything. But like we talked about with Brady, there's special guys out there that get it done in the big moments, you know. And Curry is one of them, and Brady is one of them.
Yeah, but if you look at Steph, I think an interesting thing about him, and I'm not hating him because it's comparing two of the best point guards in the NBA. It's just who's better. I think the interesting thing about him is when Klay Thompson hasn't been there, you've seen them struggle. And so that's kind of the, you know, the X factor to their team. If Klay, obviously he's missed the past few seasons, unfortunately, and for basketball fans, that's unfortunate because he can score in a hurry. He's exciting to watch. So I think that's also interesting. I know Draymond Green's been up and down with injuries as well. But I think it's interesting to see, you know, he had all that talent when they won the titles. Klay was healthy. And then Klay kind of goes down, and he's still playing individually well, but the team isn't playing as well. I don't know. I just think it's something interesting to look at. I do want to say this because people are going to be like, you're hating on Steph. That's not a hate on Steph. That's just showing how underrated Klay Thompson is, in my opinion.
Yeah, Klay Thompson is definitely underrated. I agree with you there. Well, let me ask you this. You put Curry on Portland, right?
Yeah.
Is Portland better or worse or the same?
I think they're slightly worse.
That's going to be construed as hate, and I would agree with that, actually, if someone's commented a little hate right there.
Yeah, I'm not hating on Steph at all. I'm just saying I think I would give Dame, like I said, I just personally, me,
yeah.
I would, and people have different opinions, I would give Dame the slight edge when it comes to point guards currently in the NBA, and I would give Dame that. I think the championships kind of, an overall landscape kind of gives Steph, you know, that bolster. But I think they would be slightly worse, especially with CJ McCollum going down and the injuries that Portland has faced. Dame's really persevered, and they've never had a super team. It's usually been a dynamic duo in the backcourt that has propelled them. So I haven't seen Steph win necessarily without a super team. That's the only reason I would say that.
That's fair. It's fair. I mean, he did have that defense. No, he had that defense, like I talked about. The talent that surrounds you makes a legacy for a lot of times for the superstars, because there's just such a small difference between them sometimes. That's why it makes LeBron so great, is that he's on another level. He's on the other level of those superstars.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think this was a lot of fun, right, Dylan? I think we're gonna do a lot of these podcasts. I wanna like for us too to have like a Lakers show or something. Like maybe you're the Laker hater. You're the Laker hater. I'll be the Laker lover. I don't have to change.
I think that's overblown. I think it's because I'm the one that's not a Laker fan. I'm unfortunately a Wizards fan.
See, I guess with Lakers, the thing is, if you're not a Laker fan, you're a Laker hater. If you're like amongst Laker fans, that's how it is. It's like
I told you, I'm not saying anything bad about LeBron James. I'm trying to do that wine video. I'm not bad-mouthing LeBron. I think it gets misconstrued because, unfortunately, I'm a Wizards fan, and you've seen how that's been going this season.
Yeah, I'm not going to comment on that. I'm going to let that go. I'll give you Portland as your team, but if I go down to Wizards, then it's like I'm not even going to talk to you.
I'm from Maryland, so it's a home kind of thing.
Okay, I understand.
I don't think you can really bandwagon to the Wizards.
So I want to hear about what are your passions of your – what teams are your – like besides the Wizards – I know you're a Ravens fan.
Yeah.
So look, the Ravens, right? They can't beat the Chiefs.
I think they can. I think Patrick Mahomes got a taste of what Lamar Jackson goes through.
So you think that – let me ask you this. Dylan, sorry. Let me ask you this. I know you're used to being the host.
No, ask, ask away.
Sorry, I just – whenever these questions come to my mind, I got to make sure I ask Dylan. I want to know.
Yeah.
All right. See, I already forgot what the question was going to be. But you were talking about Damian Lillard, but that was a while ago. Keep going. Sorry.
Oh, no. I was saying, I think Patrick – I saw a tweet, and I think it's true. I think Patrick Mahomes got a taste of what Lamar Jackson goes through a lot. I think the issue – I think the Ravens will have to adjust a bit. I think they blitz too much when they play Patrick Mahomes, and Patrick Mahomes usually plays well against the blitz. Obviously, he didn't have his starting tackles last night. But I think because, like I said, it's one game. So I think if the Ravens come out and play their A game and Justin Tucker doesn't ding it off the goalpost two times, you know, I think they'll they were still technically in that Buffalo game, even though the score didn't look like it. So I think if they play an A game and an elite, and they get a number one target that Lamar Jackson can throw to, they have good enough defense to hold down Kansas City.
All right. Well, we'll see. We'll see. I think that with Lamar this year, I was disappointed by Lamar. I got to say, I was really disappointed because he didn't perform as a passer like I thought he would. Mm-hmm. I knew that, I was a little skeptical. I study these guys very carefully because I'm very serious about my fantasy football.
Yeah.
I made a trade. It fell into my lap. I didn't even have to go out and seek it. It just fell into my lap, a Lamar Jackson to my team in a keeper league at a good round. And I was like, I got to take this deal. It was early in the season. It's like, Lamar, he's just going to struggle a little bit in the beginning, but he's going to get his rushing yards and everything. Anyways, I watched all of his games because he was my quarterback. I had to make that trade, and he did not throw the ball well at all. Like, just watching him throw, I know you're a Ravens fan, but he did not, compared to your guy Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, yeah, well, no.
He did not throw the ball well at all. And I know he's not the normal quarterback. He's more of like a running back, but in order to win in this league at the highest level, to beat Patrick Mahomes, to beat Tom Brady, even though he's 44 next year, but I don't think he's going to be – well, no, who knows? I can't count out Tom Brady. But, Lamar Jackson, he's going to have to improve as a thrower if he's going to beat those guys.
Yeah, I think the Ravens have to make a few organizational changes. I think first they need to adjust their offense a little bit. I think they're too complacent. You can kind of predict what they're going to do. I think teams have adjusted to it. Maybe a new offensive coordinator, in my opinion, but I know that's not a popular choice. I know people like, the coaching staff as it is. I think they have to go out and get a number one target, like I said, because right now he throws a lot to his tight ends, but was last in the league last year, I believe, down towards the bottom in wide receiver targets, everything across the board when it came to wide receivers. And so if they can go out, I wanted them to get Julio Jones. That's not going to happen, obviously. I think Atlanta announced that he's not being traded. So Odell Beckham, I mean, him and Baker, that chemistry's not really there. If I were the Ravens, I would keep the phone line open, and I would not be mad as a Ravens fan if Odell Beckham landed.
Yeah, I think they have to get a special receiver. I think that was the biggest.
Yeah, I think that's their biggest.
It's tough. Yeah, it's tough to judge completely a guy that early on. And I'm just saying he's got to improve. I think he will improve as a passer. I mean, all these guys improve as a passer as their careers go on if they're given the opportunity. We saw with Josh Allen, right? He improved a lot as a passer.
I mean, Josh Allen has developed. And I think if you look at the Ravens-Bills game, I watched obviously the whole thing. I think he let him down the field. I know the offense really wasn't moving, but it was 10-3. If he throws a touchdown instead of a pick six, it's a different game. If Justin Tucker, your all pro kicker, makes the field goals, it's a one score game.
But you know what they did with Josh Allen is that they went out and got Stephon Diggs. And that's what you're saying. If they go out and get a receiver, that's a true difference maker. Mm-hmm. I feel like then we'll see. We can get a better judgment on Lamar Jackson, because right now, Mark Andrews, okay, he's a tight end, but your number one wide receiver is who? Hollywood Brown. He's not a guy that's like a he's more of a secondary. It's just a speed guy. He's not like a go to possession receiver, I feel like. And so if they made a move for a Julio's off the table, but ODB. Yeah, that would be really exciting, because unless Dez Bryant's going in a time machine, I don't see
the weapons. That's what I'm saying. I think they need a number one target because, like I said, you trust Justin Tucker to make those kicks moving forward. He had one bad game. I'm not a Justin Tucker hater. I love Justin Tucker.
He's amazing, man.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You trust him to make those kicks moving forward. Mm-hmm. Lamar Jackson, that was his first career red zone interception. I think you get him a number one target, maybe a red zone target. Obviously, he goes to Mark Andrews a lot in the red zone. But someone who's big and tall in the red zone and can pass. I think that's the key piece they need. I think they'll be fine. So they have a good enough defense.
So you were happy with that Super Bowl result, right?
Well, I was happy with.
With that Super Bowl result then, right? Because. No?
I mean, I don't really care for Tom Brady. That's not.
Okay.
I respect him, but I'm not a Tom Brady fan. So I don't know.
Right. Yeah. I'm the same way. You have to respect them, but yeah. I can't be a fan of them. All right. Anyways, yeah. we're going to wrap up here. Yeah. This has been Serenity Now Sports Podcast presented by In the Front Row LA. And I want to know, Dylan, besides your show, where else can we find you?
So you can find me on Instagram at Dylan Tribeman, Twitter at DM Tribeman5. Those are my two main links you can find me at.
All right.
That's where you can
catch up with Dylan. He's got all kinds of content all the time. I don't know. He's all over the place, but mostly sports, right? Mostly sports.
Yeah,
for now, mostly sports. But you never know. Check out the show, The Tribeman Brothers.
Yeah, Double Trouble. Yeah.
Double Trouble on YouTube in the Front Row LA. And this is how we sign off here. So are you a Seinfeld fan at all, Dylan?
I am not.
Yeah. Okay. So you have no idea why it's called Serenity Now Sports, do you?
No, at all. Educate
okay. me. So in Seinfeld, right, there is a character, Frank Costanza, right? Mm-hmm. And it was played by Ben Stiller's dad, Jerry Stiller, right?
Yeah.
And there's an episode. he recently passed away, and RIP. And it was a tough year for me, you know, losing the two biggest inspirations for my show. One, Frank Costanza, who would yell "Serenity now," right? Meaning that he wanted serenity in his life, but you're not actually supposed to like yell it out loud. You're supposed to just say it in your head. But anyways, that happened, and then Kobe. The inspiration of all inspirations for me, it's Kobe, it's Seinfeld, it's Bill Simmons, even though he's from Boston, but I got to say, Bill Simmons, big inspiration. And so Serenity Now comes from Seinfeld. And Dylan, I know you're a little bit younger generation, go out and watch Seinfeld. There's no excuse.
I've tried. I just can't get into it.
Okay. Sorry, I always have to lecture you. All right.
That's another podcast. We'll do it.
So when we sign off, we say serenity now and sanity later. But only I say it. So anyways, you don't have to say anything. I'm just explaining for you, for the audience as well. So for Dylan and for Danny, serenity now and sanity later.